Roll call by the chief clerk.
Roll call for Monday, February 2nd. Anderson.
Here.
Bebout.
Here.
Burns. Case.
Here.
Coe.
Here.
Cooper.
Here.
DeCaria.
Here.
Dockstader.
Here.
Esquibel.
Here.
Geis.
Here.
Hastert.
Here.
Honeycutt.
Here.
Jennings.
Here.
Johnson.
Here.
Landon.
Here.
Larson.
Here.
Martin.
Here.
Massey.
Here.
Meyer.
Here.
Nicholas.
Here.
Perkins.
Here.
Peterson.
Here.
Ross.
Here.
Schiffer.
Here.
Scott.
Here.
Sessions.
Here.
Townsend.
Excused.
Vasey.
Here.
Von Flatern.
Here.
President Hines.
Here.
Burns.
Excused.
28 present, 2 excused.
Prayer by Reverend Veit.
Oh, there we go. I'd like to offer you a prayer for those who influence public opinion. Let us pray. Almighty God, you proclaim your truth in every age by many voices. Direct in our time, we pray, those who speak where many listen and write what many read, that they may do their part in making the heart of this people wise, its mind sound, and its will righteous. For it is in the honor of your name we pray. Amen.
Join me in the pledge.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Reading correction and approval of the journal. Will the reading clerk please read the journal committee report?
Mr. President, your journal committee reports that the journal of January the 30th, 2009, has been read and recommends that it be approved. Senator Dockstader, chairman.
Are there any objections? There being none, the report is adopted. Doctor of the day is Dave Guida, MD from Cheyenne. Nurse for the, there's no nurse scheduled. Thought for the day, when you are right, no one remembers. When you are wrong, no one forgets. Members of the Senate, it is a pleasure to be joined on the floor this morning by a special guest from the Wyoming affiliate of the Susan G. Coleman for the Cure organization. Today is Pink Ribbon Day, a special day where we celebrate breast cancer survivors and honor those who have lost their battle with the disease. It is also a day when we recognize the activists of the Coleman, Wyoming affiliate and their individual contribution to the breast cancer movement. Please join me now in welcoming First Lady Nancy Friedenthal, Susan Thomas, former Senator Jane Mockler, and Representative Tom Lockhart and his wife Lynn, honorary race chairman, Stacy Cesar, president of the Wyoming affiliate, Kelly Minor, Race for the Cure Chair, and several volunteers of the affiliate in the gallery. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Wyoming Senate. It's a pleasure to be here, invited to address you again today on this most sobering subject. In 2009, it's estimated that one woman will be diagnosed with breast cancer every 3 minutes, and every 13 minutes, one woman will die. This alarming statistic is why we're here to speak with you today. The Wyoming affiliate of Susan G. Komen for the Cure, along with those of you who so generously have supported us with your time, your talent, and your resources, is working to better the lives of those facing breast cancer in our Wyoming communities. We join more than 100,000 breast cancer survivors and advocates around the globe as part of the world's largest and most progressive grassroots network fighting breast cancer. Through events like the Komen Wyoming Race for the Cure, we've invested over $1.5 million in local breast health and breast cancer awareness projects in Wyoming. As you know, up to 75% of the net proceeds generated by the Komen Wyoming affiliate stays here in Wyoming. The remaining goes to the National Susan G. Komen for the Cure Grants Program for Energizing Science to Find the Cures. At Susan G. Komen for the Cure, it is our promise to save lives and end breast cancer forever by empowering people, by ensuring quality care, and by empowering science to find the cures. We know that ending breast cancer is about more than curing a medical condition. It is about overcoming the cultural, social, and financial conditions that prevent women from receiving life-saving breast health care and treatment. Thank you for everything you do for Wyoming, for Wyoming citizens, and for supporting the Wyoming affiliate of the Susan G. Komen for the Cure. It's my pleasure now to be followed by Susan Thomas.
Well, good morning, everybody. I'm honored to be here, Mr. President, and with all of Wyoming's finest. Oh, my little note came out of my check. I won't take long because I realize that all of you have much work to do during this session. I'm a teacher, so we're going to have some questions and see if you can follow the directions, which are very simple. I'm going to ask three questions, and if any of them apply to you, I would like you, if you can answer yes, I would like you to raise your hand and keep your hand up, okay? First question. Has anyone in your family or any of your relatives had to deal with breast cancer? Yes. Okay, keep them up, please. Number two, do you know of any friends or any neighbors that have had to fight this potentially deadly disease? Yes. And number three, think of your workplace, your church, your community. Do you know of anyone there that has been diagnosed with this disease? Okay. Hands up. Boy, you follow directions. Love it. I want you to take a couple of seconds and look around you and see how many hands are raised while remembering you represent the entire state of Wyoming. Okay. I rest my case, my friends. You can see that we have much work yet to do for all of the citizens of Wyoming, because I believe one hand raised is one hand too many. I want to thank you for listening to me, and I would also like to personally thank each of you for the great work you are doing in order to make Wyoming a better place in which to live. God bless you, and God bless America. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the Senate, friends of the Senate. I know you thought I'd stay away a little longer. Because of you, I am here today I am the honorary co-chair of the Wyoming Race for the Cure, along with Representative Lockhart. We are the co-chairs because over the last 5 years, we've come in second in this race. So this year, we're going to come in first, and that is because we are going to do a lot better job of explaining to the people in our districts what an insidious disease this is and what we can do to help people overcome it, to help people support their families, and to actually support the victims of this disease. Last year, I was chair. This year, because you guys have really got a little work to do in finding some more women, or you're going to have one of you guys be the chair. Senator Sessions will be the chair. She is going to wander around this place and cough up a lot of money from each of you. But really, as much as I can and come back here and joke a little bit about this, because I've been doing that on the floor, really, we've done a great job. And I hope that over the course of the next couple of weeks that you will fill out this form, that you will find friends to fill it out as well, and that we can make a real concerted effort to go back to our districts and show what Susan has just said, that every single person in this body has been affected by this disease, and that we can make a commitment as well to show people in this state that it is something we must overcome. So thank you for letting me come back for 3 minutes, and let the sun shine in, not only on all of you, but on this disease as well. Thank you.
Thank you, ladies, and members of the Susan G. Komen Organization for joining us today and help us celebrate the Pink Ribbon Day. Thank you very much. Messages from the House.
January the 30th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 179, third reading failed. Mr. President, the bill listed below failed to pass the House third reading by the vote indicated. House bill number 133, hunting, use of electronic sites. Aye zero, noes 59, excused one. January the 30th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 74, Water and Sewer Districts Maps, ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill 78, Improvement and Service Districts, ayes 59, excused 1. January the 30th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, third reading passed amended. Mr. President, the bills listed below passed the House on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. House Bill 44, Surveyors and Engineers, ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1. House Bill number 141, Impaired Driving Prevention Amendments, ayes 49, noes 10, excused 1. House Bill number 145, Rural Health Care Districts Mill Levy, ayes 59, excused 1. House Bill number 77, Seat Belts. Now, let me start over. January the 30th, 2009, from the House of Representatives, message number 182, Committee of the Whole, indefinitely postponed. Mr. President, the House adopted the Committee of the Whole report, failing the bill listed below by the vote indicated. House Bill number 77, Seat Belts, Evidence of Civil Actions. Ayes 26, noes 33, excused 1. The bill has been indefinitely postponed. Patricia Benskin, House Chief Clerk.
House bills in first reading. House Bill 26, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 26, sponsored by Representative Buchanan, Circuit Court's Magistrate Jurisdiction, an act relating to Circuit Court Magistrates. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 26 have been referred to committee number one, Judiciary. House Bill 145, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 145, sponsored by Representative Davidson, Rural Health Care Districts, Mill Levy, and Act Relating to Rural Health Care Districts. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 145 have been referred to committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill 84, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 84, sponsored by Representative Illoway, Economic Development, Property Tax Exemption, and Act Relating to Taxation and Revenue. Passed the House on a third reading, amended, ayes 50, noes 10.
House Bill 84 have been referred to committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill 186, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 186, sponsored by Representative Anderson, Gasoline Tax, Agriculture Exemption 2, and Act Relating to Fuel Tax. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 54, noes 6.
House Bill 186 have been referred to committee number 3, Revenue. House Bill 48, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 48, sponsored by Representative Brown, Game Bird Farm Raising Sage Grouse, an act relating to game and fish. Passed the House on an amended form on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 48 have been referred to committee number 6, Travel. House Bill 76, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 76, sponsored by Representative Illoway, Election Code Revisions, an act relating to elections. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 60.
House Bill 76 have been referred to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 44, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 44, sponsored by Representative Jorgensen, Surveyors and Engineers, an act relating to professions and occupations. Passed the House on third reading in an amended form, ayes 32, noes 27, excused 1.
House Bill 44 have been referred to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 74, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 74, sponsored by Representative Brown, Water and Sewer Districts, MAPS, and Act Relating to Water and Sewer Districts. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 74 have been referred to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 78, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 78, sponsored by Representative Brown, Improvement and Service Districts, an act relating to improvement and service districts. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 59, excused 1.
House Bill 78 have been referred to committee number 7, Corporations. House Bill 190, first reading of the bill.
House Bill number 190, sponsored by Representative Throne, Driver's License Suspensions, Child Support, and Act Relating to the Suspension of Driver's License for Nonpayment of Child Support. Passed the House on third reading, ayes 37, noes 23.
House Bill 190 have been referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 83, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 83, sponsored by Representative Throne, Governmental Immunity, Public Transportation, and Act Relating to Governmental Claims. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 83 have been referred to Committee Number 3, Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 47, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 47, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Commercial Signage on Highways, and Act Relating to Highway Signage. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 47 have been referred to Committee Number 8, Transportation. House Bill 59, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 59, sponsored by Representative Stubson, Liquor Licenses, Golf Clubs, and Act Relating to Liquor Licenses. Pass the House on third reading. Ayes 59, noes 1.
House Bill 59 have been referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. House Bill 112, first reading of the bill.
House Bill Number 112, sponsored by the Minerals Committee, Workforce Housing Program, and Act Relating to Economic Development. Pass the House on third reading in an amended form. Ayes 37, noes 23.
House Bill 112 have been referred to Committee Number 9, Minerals. Reports from standing committees.
January the 30th, 2009, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 106, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. I, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. January the 30th, 2009, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 24, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, and Nicholas. No, Senators Peterson and Townsend. Senator Nicholas, Chairman. January the 30th, 2009, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 73, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman. January the 30th, 2009, Mr. President, your Committee Number 2, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 10, reports back with a recommendation that it do pass amended. Aye, Senators Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Peterson, and Townsend, Senator Nicholas, Chairman.
Bills on second reading. Senate File 14, second reading of the Senate file.
State Historic Sites Appropriation.
Senate File 14 having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 17, second reading of the Senate file.
Mental Health and Substance Abuse Appropriations.
Senate File 17, having been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 28, second reading of the Senate file.
Licensing of Entertainment Activities.
Senate File 28, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 56, second reading of the Senate file.
School Finance Appropriations.
Senate File 56, haven't been read two separate times. The question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 92, second reading of the Senate file.
Long-term care access.
Senate File 92, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 104, second reading of the Senate file.
Life insurance limitation on dependent coverage.
Senate File 104, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Senate File 111, second reading of the Senate file.
First responder retirement contributions.
There is an amendment. Would you read the amendment in, please?
Senate File 111, second reading amendment number 1, page 1 above line 1.
Senator Von Platerman.
Thank you, Mr. President, and I move second reading amendment number 1 to Senate File 111 that asks that we dispense with further reading of the amendment. This amendment opens this bill up to not only first responders retirement, where the state will pay their portion, and in the original bill, the employer's portion of their retirement while they're deployed. This amendment goes in and says that we'll pay for everybody's retirement, but we will not pay the employer's portion. It also removes one position. There's two positions in the original bill. It brings it down to one position. And so the big issue, so it opens it up to everybody that is deployed from this point forward. It takes the employer's portion of that contribution out of there, and it takes it down to one position for the adjutant general, and it also puts a reporting requirement in there for the adjutant general. So he reports back and tells us exactly. Then next budget session, through the regular process, he can say that it's this much money. This is what I need to have in my budget. So go quickly going through the amendment. Page 1, the catch title, we take out first responder. Page 1, line 2, we remove employer and. Page 1, line 4, providing a definition, insert requiring a report after providing a definition. Page 1, line 5, just goes from plural positions to singular position. Page 1, line 10, before new, delete A, and so forth. Takes out on page 2, line 7 and 8, takes out first responder. Page 2, lines 11 through 19, it deletes that whole 6-7 lines there, 8 lines, which is the emergency responder definition. And then after page 2, after line 19, it insert and renumber. It says the Adjutant General shall report annually no later than October 1 to the Joint Transportation Highways and Military Affairs Interim Committee. The report shall include a number of persons who qualify for the contributions under subsection E of this section, a listing of the civilian classifications of persons of the persons applying for the contributions, and the total amount expended for the contributions. Then on page 2, line 23, that's where we change the number from 996,000. It goes to 892,000. That's the removal of one position. And page 2, line 24, delete lines through the $996,000. Page 3, line 14, take out employer once again. Page 3, line 19, delete the balance of the line, insert 103,000. That's for one position versus two positions. And again on page 3, line 20. And then page 4, line 1, take out the two positions, write in one. And once again, make position singular by putting in position on line 2 of page 4. The thought behind this is that there's 900 and some more people going out. There's actually that'll make something like 1,400 deployed. Which, if we were to go retroactive with this and take everybody in there, yes, that would be a lot of money. This is going to be a lot of money. We're going to see, because there is language on page 2 that says the adjutant general may, At least we know he'll get a handle on how many people are going to qualify, and by the way, how many people want to qualify. Many companies actually pay while that person is gone. They keep his retirement going. So we are dealing with probably people from soldiers that are in a smaller company, and that smaller company is going to be hurt by their deployment in many ways. I agree with that, not just in loss of an employee, but maybe loss of a particular expertise of that employee. So this will keep that retirement benefit up for that employee. If there is an employer contribution, I do believe that we'd almost be on the edge of putting public money into private hands, which, you know, argues a lot on this floor that we can't be doing that. But I don't know that for a fact, and until an AG writes an opinion, we probably won't know that. But this does keep it up. This does open it for everybody, because I cannot see why you would pick one segment of society. They're going to be hurt the same way as the rest of the deployment. I don't think all 900 and some either are not in retirement, or possibly their company takes care of that retirement for them while they're gone. So I don't think all 900 are going to be there.
30 seconds left.
I ask for your favorable vote on the amendment. Let's move this bill forward. It's a great idea.
Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, first of all, I'm going to ask that that this amendment be divided. I'm going to divide it into three parcels. Mr. President, the first one is lines 9 through 16, and part of that same division are lines 27 through 42 on page 1. And all in lines 1 through 12 on page 3. Mr. President, what that goes to is cutting out one employee at the military department and the reporting requirement. That's what Division 1 deals with. Division 2 would be lines 5, line 17, line 43 on page 1. That goes to paying for the employer's share. And, Mr. President, the third division is lines 2 on page 1, lines 2, 7, and 8, and lines 19 through 25 on page 1.
Okay, let me see if I have that correct. Division 1 would be lines 9 through 15, lines 26 through 42, and on page 2, lines 1 through 12.
Yes, Mr. President, that's correct.
Second division would be page 1, lines 3 through 6. Lines 17 and 18, and lines 43 and 44.
Yes, Mr. President, that's correct.
Okay. In the third division, it would need to be lines 1 through 3. And lines 19 through 25?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I believe that's all divisible. Okay, Senator Schiffer. Senator Bebout?
Mr. President, just so I'm sure, you're including line 3 on both the second and third division, in which you just said, so it's on the third division, I believe, is where it should be, not the second.
That's correct. The line 3 is on the third division. Okay, Senator Schiffer.
First division, I'll be very brief. These are all policy decisions. what you want to do in terms of how we treat our Army and Air National Guard. In terms of the 1st Division, vote it up, vote it down, do whatever you want with it. It's cutting up a position and cutting the appropriation accordingly and asking for a report back.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, as I read this, the 1st Division is cutting an appropriation, so under our rules, it would require a roll call. And, Mr. President, I'm not sure that's true of 2 and 3, but I think they have big money, their policy decisions with big money implications down the road, so I would request a roll call on those two divisions as well.
So noted. Further discussion on Division 1, Senator Burns.
Mr. President, I was wondering if it could be further divided.
What is your proposal?
The current Division 1, except lines 29 through 35, and make that a separate subdivision.
I believe that is also divisible. And that would be Division 4, you recommend?
Mr. President, I've just been corrected. Also, lines 7 and 8, where it says requiring a report.
Page 1, line, or line 4, would be lines 7 and 8 on the amendment?
I believe so.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I gather that's going to be Division 4.
Correct.
Mr. President, just want to clarify, my request for a roll call does not extend that far. That's not something we would need to take.
So noted. Further discussion on Division 1? Are you ready for the question? Then the question is, shall Division 1 pass? The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Bebout, Burns, Case,
Coe,
Cooper, DeCaria, Dockstader, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Honeycutt, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Martin, Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
no.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
no.
Von Flatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. 19 ayes, 11 noes.
Division 1 have passed the amendment have passed for second reading division on Senate File 111. The next division is Division 2. Page 1, it's line 5 and 6. Lines 17 and lines 43. It's Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, and here's where you're really talking about policy. What this amendment does is deletes our obligation to pay retirement to the employer. And the reason I included employers Depending whether if you have an employee, understand, according to federal law, just because they're in the Air or the Army National Guard, you cannot fire. That's the federal law. I assume, and I have never heard of any employer in Wyoming violating that law. However, understand that we now have Army National Guardsmen on their fourth deployment to either Iraq or Afghanistan. And understand, those are all of them are a year long, some of them 15 months. We have Air Guardsmen, particularly in the air controllers and in the medevac portion of our Air Guard, and in transporting the great big airplanes, I forget what, 130s or something. Those people get deployed. Sometimes it's for weeks. Sometimes it's for 30 days, 60 days, 90 days. They come back, they get all trained, and then they're back again. They may go twice in 1 year, three times in 1 year. And understand, their employer has to adjust for that. What this does, if you include the employer, it's saying we recognize the sacrifices that you're making in your business, and whether it's a 15-month deployment or a 60-day deployment, doesn't matter. These people are stepping up and saying, we're going to do our part. What I'm asking you to do here today is to vote no on this amendment so we recognize those employers. Is it a lot? No, it probably isn't. Not for what it does to their businesses, but it is an incentive. I will suggest to you that these deployments are not going to end. What I'm told is for the U.S. government to pull up a Guard member and send them to wherever we're engaging at costs one-sixth of the amount that a regular soldier costs. Now, folks, there's lots of smart people in the Pentagon, and if I get told that, somebody else has figured that out. These deployments are not going to end. I've been told our next deployment for Wyoming units will be to Korea so that they can bring regular Army home. That's fine. That's what's happening. But understand where the burden goes. It goes to those people deployed, and it goes to their civilian employers. What this does is says, folks, we recognize that. And I don't know what the one after Korea is going to be, but I don't think it's going to end. This is a recognition of what our private employers are doing on behalf of all of us. I ask you to vote no on Division 2.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you. Folks, this really gets down to start showing how this is a complicated statute to provision to administer, but let me just take you to the state. Right now, we do reimburse amounts for state employees. We have an account, and it requires funding, and we fund it. In the state of Wyoming, the employer has, a typical employee is 11.5% is contributed to their retirement. If you're in the law enforcement program, it's about 18% of your salary. Of that, the employer pays half, the employee pays half. Having said that, we have been paying the employee half of the shares for probably as long as I've been around. And so if you were to go on, say, for a state employee that we're not going to employ the employer's contribution, there'd be nothing contributed, no capacity to contribute. To the extent that these first responders are working for counties and cities, you may or may not have the same issue, but it's likely that they have similar provisions. If they work for school districts, obviously they do. We're a situation where the statute says employer contributes half, employee contributes half, and the state, in fact, contributes the entire share, so I'm not sure how that physically works. The it seems to me that if as we move this bill through, that the answer is to put a cap on what we're going to pay on each and every employee. And you take a typical salary, take a reasonable retirement, and get away from the notion that if you happen to be somebody making $250,000 in a medical practice and you lose your medical practice for 6 months, are we going to contribute the full amount? I mean, that's I'm not sure where this is going. I'm not sure that anybody knows what the total cost to it is, and I would remind folks that while it's nice to help out our men and women in uniform, they are receiving a federal retirement while they're leaving. I understand why we do something extra for state employees. I'm not sure that it's appropriate to extend out. Having said that, the minute you begin to now say we're only going to do employee contributions, you're going to get a result that you probably don't know what you're getting. You probably don't know what's going to happen. And I'll probably speak on and against the amendment, the bill we talk about later.
Senator Scott.
Mr. President, I will confess to be still somewhat confused as to exactly what we're doing here. As I understand, if we vote for the amendment, then we will no longer be paying the employer's share of these retirement contributions. And if we vote against the amendment, then we're committing ourselves to paying that employer's share. Now, let me ask a question. I can understand how that works, where you have the formal defined benefit kind of retirement system that the state has or a school district has. I guess that may be the same or some of the large employers. But those are becoming the exception rather than the rule. How does it work where what the employer is doing, well, in our small business, we can't afford a fancy retirement plan, all that sort of thing, but we do contribute a percentage of wages, and it has to be uniform by the federal regulations, to a thing called a SEP plan, Simplified Employer IRA is what it amounts to. Has some advantages. Other outfits do it with a 401k. Are those kind of retirement systems covered? Are they affected by this amendment?
Senator Perkins.
Thank you, Mr. President. Following on, and I appreciate Senator Scott has brought up a point or a question that I had with respect to the amendment, and that is just going off that a little bit further, the majority of small employers are going to have what are called defined contribution plans, where it's just a certain percentage of your salary or your compensation can be paid into that plan, and there and a lot of that, some of that will be your share of your compensation. Some will be the other will be a match, some kind of matching provision, anywhere from a 100% match to a 25% match to anyway, there are different matches from the employer. And I guess when it comes down to this, when you look at what this bill and what the amendment does, is if ultimately it's a percentage, are we talking about we're going to pay the entire or just during their deployment? And if you're gone during the deployment, there is no compensation paid during the deployment by the employer, which is going to be a percentage to be contributed. So, and I don't see language in here that says we're going to do it with the wage replacement. I understand the concept, but I don't see how this is going to work, and I don't see how we're going to know. I mean, this is kind of an open checkbook kind of a deal, and if you could help us understand that a little bit, appreciate it.
Senator Cove.
Mr. President, just a couple comments, I guess. When you start talking about the state retirement system, the 11.5%, I think pretty much that's limited to either city employees, county employees, or school district employees. So one of my questions would be, how many of the guard people out there fall under this category. Now, as far as the SEP IRA goes, a SEP IRA plan is limited to whatever the employer decides percentage-wise he's going to put in that. And at that point in time, the employer, once he determines, say, 10%, he has to match that 10% for his employees. Now, having been a member of the 153rd out here at the airport for 6 years, back in the late 60s, it was a medevac unit that flew 121s to Vietnam and back. The majority of the air crews that were out there actually were airline employees out of Denver that did this on a standby basis, I guess I'd say. So I'd be curious as to what the percentage is, for instance, with the Air Guard out here now, that are airline employees probably out of Denver. The nurses back then were mostly hospital nurses out of Denver or here in Cheyenne, all professional people with retirement plans. So I guess my question would be, do you have any idea what the percentage factor is as it breaks down to some of these that are being deployed?
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I could address one of the questions that came up with regard to contributions to nonprofit plans. And I think that it does cover it under the existing language over on page 2, line 5, where reading between some of the words there, it does talk about private retirement plans, which that one would clearly fall in. So if we do defeat this amendment, it would include employees who are come from nonprofits in which the nonprofit contributes a certain percentage of their wages to a plan that they either define or they allow the employee to define under certain circumstances.
Further discussion on the amendment? Senator Scott, for your second time.
Mr. Chairman, and okay, I understand that we're covering the IRA contributions for nonprofits. What about the more common circumstance, the profits?
Further comments? Senator Schiffer.
Mr. President, for my second time, and I'll try and answer some of these questions. First of all, to answer my colleague from Natrona County, yes, they would be covered. Those are recognized by the IRS, and that is a retirement system. I'm sure they're covered. That's what we're talking about. That's exactly what we're talking about. And I don't know how many employees my colleague from Natrona County has, but I know this, when there's a deployment, it has an impact on his business. Second, and I don't remember exactly because I can't write that fast anymore, the retirement, the state's contribution under this bill is only for that period of time that a person is deployed. That's why you have to have staff. That's why you got to track all this. That's why, they'll get it done. Whether it's one employee or two, they'll get it done. I have great faith in them. In terms of how they come up with who is actually included in terms of the definition, I started this bill midsummer. And the way you identify it is you go through the military records. That's how you do it. That's how we identified who was in and who was out. That's how we got the number 157, I believe, is what's covered. That's what it was covered then. That's how you do it. It's roughly, very roughly, 10%. But that's how you go about doing this. It isn't easy. It's not a question you normally ask people who are being deployed. Where they all come from, and I don't know, to answer my colleague from Park County, I don't know where they come from. I mean, our National Guard's men and women come from all over the United States. Particularly the Air Guard is really dispersed. People join units because they're qualified to fly a certain plane, or they're a qualified air controller and they need them, or they're a qualified medic or emergency evacuation, and they'll end up in an air unit. So they'll come from all over. But one of the things to remember, and let's use the far end of the spectrum. Perhaps you got a brain surgeon, going to make millions of dollars a year, I think. But he's also in the Guard. Yes, he does get federal retirement. But understand the difference. He's giving up his, I don't know what, $3 million a year. And I don't know what it is now, but when I was in, most of those docs are lieutenant commanders. They're making about, maybe $40,000, depending how long they've been in. Maybe. What he's going to pick up in federal retirement is a pittance. And let me also suggest to you, if you're needing a brain surgeon, you don't want to wait till you get back to Cheyenne, Wyoming, to see. If you're in Iraq or Afghanistan, your comfort level goes up considerably if you know that guy's at least behind you somewhere. So I don't know where all they come from, but I know they're taking time to go do their duty. I think I've covered all the questions. I ask you to vote no on this amendment.
We're voting on second reading amendment to Senate File 111, Division 2. A roll call has been requested that the amendment division are lines 4, 5, and 6, lines 17 and 18, and lines 43 and 44 on page 1. The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson, Bebout, Burns, Case, Coe, Cooper, DeCaria, Dockstader, Esquibel, Geis, Hastert, Honeycutt, Jennings, Johnson, Landon, Larson, Martin, Massey, Meyer, Nicholas, Perkins, Peterson, Ross, Schiffer, Scott, Sessions, Townsend, Basie, Von Flatern, President Hines.
No.
Closing vote. Closing vote close. 2 ayes, 28 noes.
By your vote, Division 2 have failed. We are now on Division 3, lines 19 through 25, 26, I guess, on page 1. Senator Schiffer.
Guard men and women come from all over the United States. Most come from Wyoming, but they can come from all over. So we want to make it everybody on the same footing. The reason that basically I limited to first providers, first of all, that's the next largest single component in terms of employment of people who get in the Guard and stay in. It's your firefighters, your policemen, your EMTs, guys that will step out are inclined to get in the Guard and stay in the Guard. I can't say that they are the single largest category, but I believe they are the single largest category. And they, as a general rule, they reenlist. So that's how I picked them out. My final point is, I think it's important to have it limited to that population, because quite frankly, I have no idea if we open it up to all, everybody in the Guard, I have no idea what it'll cost. I know it'll be expensive, but I don't know how much it will cost. By limiting it to a specific first responders, I can at least with some level of comfort say, this is what the program costs. I'll suggest to you that let's wait and see, take a cautious approach, keep it limited. If you want to bring back a look at this, we're going to have a report. It'll be great. You can see kind of where it went and how it worked. But I urge you, be a little cautious. If you vote no on this, it is limited to first responders. I think fiscally that's a prudent thing to do. So I ask you to vote no on the Division 3 of this amendment.
In Division 3, lines 1 through 3 are also included, along with lines 19 through 26. Senator Von Flatiron.
And I ask you to vote yes on this amendment. I can't imagine the two people working together in a, probably a hostile climate, definitely not friendly in many areas, and one's being paid this and one's being paid this and they're doing the same job. I think we argue that point a lot on just general wages. So I can't imagine why we're going to pick out a certain part of the population. We really don't have definitive numbers on it. Any volunteer fireman, policeman, EMT, doctor, nurse, it is a definable category. I grant that, but it's. Do we know how many exactly there? Do we know how many, when given 3 to 6 months notice of deployment, won't suddenly become a volunteer fireman? Just up the numbers. Why wouldn't you? You're going to get your retirement to continue to be paid. Why would you work with somebody doing the same job and realize that they are keeping the retirement up and you're not? The same rules apply in private industry as they do for those working for county, for private ambulance, private clinics, hospitals. If you're not in the retirement system that year, you probably add another year on the other end to get the full benefits. That goes across the board. So I cannot see picking out a certain part of the population and saying, you get it, and you guys over here don't. So please vote for this amendment.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. I guess I would urge you to vote no against the amendment. The folks, if you're going to pass a bill that has an appropriation, you need to know the appropriation. The sponsors of this bill brought to you a limited program. They investigated it. They determined what they believed was a reasonable cost. It went through the appropriations process to define what that reasonable cost is. And it seems to me that if a person wants to go to another person's bill and they want to expand the coverage, as this would do, it's incumbent on the folks that are proposing that to go out and make the investigation, find out what the cost is there. Now, if you don't, you know, I do believe from experience tells us that if you begin the program with first responders, you might as well get ready to open it up for everybody, because whether it's the homestead exemption for military or whatever it is, we're besieged with bills each and every year to expand it. If you give it to one person in a uniform, you're going to give it to everybody else over time. This program, if you adopt it, is going to expand. Having said that, from an appropriations point of view, we only know the cost right now as the bill was proposed and not as it's being now proposed to be expanded.
Further discussion? The question is on Division 3. The second reading amendment number one is Senate File 111. Roll call vote has been requested, and the chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
No.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
No.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
No.
DeCaria?
No.
Dockstader?
No.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
No.
Hastert?
No.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
No.
Landon?
No.
Larson?
No.
Martin? Massey?
No.
Meyer?
No.
Nicholas?
No.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
No.
Ross?
No.
Schiffer?
No.
Scott?
Aye.
Sessions?
No.
Townsend?
No.
Basie?
No.
Von Flatern?
Aye.
President Hines?
No.
Closing vote? Closing. Vote closed. 4 ayes, 26 noes.
This division have failed. We are now on division 4, which is lines 7, 8, and 9, and lines 28 through 36. Senator Burns?
Mr. President, on and for the amendment, if we're going to be spending, well, now it's less than $1 million, but not for long. I think the good senator, the chairman of the appropriations is exactly right. If we do pass this bill, we are setting out an entitlement, and it will expand. I voted no on the last amendment simply because we don't know how much it's going to be, but we do know that it's going to be viewed as inherently unfair, gone on into the future. For that reason, I can't understand why in the world we wouldn't want to get a report back from the Adjutant General as to how much is being spent. One of the other questions, and I'd be very interested to see from the report, is how many of those checks are going down to the state to the south of us. I remember a few years ago that the majority of the Air National Guard members are not residents of Wyoming. And that's one of the concerns I have about this bill, is we will be subject to whatever the vagaries of another law in another state may be as to retirement. And I think we should be constantly reminded, especially on this program, of what we're spending and where we're spending it.
Are you ready for the question on the 4th Division? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
That division have passed. Senate File 111, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time, hearing no objections? It is so ordered. Senate File 128, second reading of the Senate file.
Scrap metal purchases.
There are amendments. So would the reading clerk please read in the First Amendment?
Senate File Number 128, Second Reading Amendment Number 1, page 1, line 14.
Senator Massey.
Thank you, Mr. President. I move Second Reading Amendment Number 1 to Senate File 128. This deals with subsection A of the bill on page 1 and the top of page 2. As folks read through the language there, it's clearly old language, archaic language, and sometimes that's fine to leave it in there. It's somewhat quaint. But it does force people to do some things which would really be labor-intensive and doesn't really make a lot of sense anymore. So that's the reason for the amendment. What it essentially does, Mr. President, is it goes on line 15 of page 1, and it gets rid of the requirement of keeping a separate book with written ink in it, and instead conforms to the provisions over on lines 8 and 9 on page 2, and allows them to keep written or electronic records and descriptions of the junk that they bring in. There's a conforming part of the amendment, Mr. Chairman, is on lines 3 and 4, page 2, getting rid of the, again, outdated provision concerning erasure and mutilation of the books. So it just brings it up to modern language and gets rid of requiring folks to do something that made sense maybe 60 or 70 years ago.
Are you ready for the question? The question being, shall second reading amendment number one to House Senate File 128 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. Amendment passed. Reading clerk, would please read in amendment number two.
Senate File Number 128, second reading amendment number two, page one, line three.
Senator Scott.
Mr. Chairman, I move adoption of this amendment. Mr. Chairman, the origin of this amendment, as I listened to discussion in Committee of the Whole on Friday, it was apparent to me that there hadn't been much involvement from the people whose business we're regulating here that are buying this scrap metal. And so on my way home Friday, when we got out early, I got there in time, so I dropped a copy of the bill and the Standing Committee amendment off at one of my local recyclers with a note saying, is this all right? Well, it takes me about 35 minutes to get home from there. And by the time I got home, my wife said, gee, you just got a call. They want to meet with you. And sure enough, we set up a meeting on Saturday, and they were not aware this bill was coming. They had seen an earlier draft, but had understood, and it had changed quite a bit from the earlier draft, and they had understood that nothing was happening on it this year, so they were surprised. And they said it will really foul our business up. So I probed that, and they said the record-keeping requirements are fine. They said most of our customers are perfectly honest. You don't have a problem. But there is a percentage. And they said that record-keeping requirements give the police all they need to nail the guy who's stealing the stuff and selling it to the recycler, that it includes copy of the photo ID, so you got a photograph of the guy, you've got a description of what it is on the ticket, you've got a copy, you write his license plate number down, because these things all come in a truck or something. The police can identify and find the individuals that are stealing with the information that's in that section. And they said, that's just good practice. That's no problem. It looks onerous, but they said, you got to do it. So that's no problem. The problem that they had was with the limitation on the cash purchase. And what they said was, look, the business of buying scrap metal has historically been a cash business, that they pay out a lot, and it's a lot of checks. The gentleman in the meeting from Gillette, Mr. President, said that this would increase the number of checks they had to write every year by 3,200 and cause them to have to add an additional clerk to their staff. And some of these amounts are fairly large. We've probed on, is there an amount that would work? And really, the larger amounts would be better than the smaller amounts. With Standing Committee amendment, it's $100 now. They said it doesn't, having it in cash or a check doesn't make any difference to the ability of the police to find and catch somebody who's stealing. That photo ID, the license plate number, the description of what the product is, that's what the police need. This cash bit is irrelevant. It just harms our business. And frankly, I think they're right, Mr. President, which is why I bring this amendment, which what it does is delete the prohibition on paying cash over any amount. It just says, leaves the law silent on that so they can continue doing business the way they are. It seems to me, Mr. President, that a lot of the time we spend in this legislature is in trying to develop compromises that will achieve the objective that the proponents of a bill are seeking to achieve without doing harm to somebody else in the process. And I would submit that's what this amendment does. It says the legitimate objective here is to put a stop
30 seconds left.
To the thieves. Well, the first part of the bill does that. The cash provision is not needed to stop the thieving, and so let's delete it. And we'll achieve what we want to, what the bill seeks to, without doing harm to anybody's business. So I would urge adoption of the amendment, Mr. President.
Are you ready for the question on the amendment? Question being, shall a Senate amendment, Senator Myers.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Mr. Chairman, the last amendment definitely was a friendly amendment. I'm not sure whether this one is friendly or not, but I think we've got plenty of time to work this amendment if it gets over to the House, whether it's on or off, because we have talked to some of the junk dealers, and they do have a concern about the cash part of it. I think industry wanted the cash part of it, I think primarily so there was that other tracking device on the checks. But I think we can vote this one up, vote it down, however you want to work with it, and we'll check with the committee over the House and make sure we get a good hearing on it over there.
Senator Jennings.
Mr. President, one more little piece of record keeping to write a check to make sure that you can go back in there and track it. It's not going to hurt them. I'd say let's vote this down. Let's keep the record keeping up to a level where it is. We have this theft of metals going on all over the state. I had some out of my yard, had a security light with a motion detector. They popped in there 2 or 3 minutes and got off with about $1,000 worth of cable. And so that means everything that has cable on it now has to go inside. We got a lot of oil fields that are taking down pump jacks. They don't need the lines anymore. There's guys out there going actually cutting them off the poles, and hopefully the power's off of them when they do it. One more piece of record keeping is not going to hurt. Let's defeat this and make them keep some records.
Further discussion on the amendment, Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The good senator from rural Natrona County is absolutely right. There was not a lot of testimony from the actual dealers, whatever you want to call them now, recyclers, junk dealers, et cetera. There was not. There was a little bit from some people who were associated with them. I think I pointed out on the committee of the whole that very fact, and that I had since had several emails from people actually engaged in the business. The people proposing this, the utilities, the people who are involved with the kegs and so on, felt pretty strongly about this because what they indicated is that the ability to take the cash and never hear from them again was an important part of the record keeping. Now, quite frankly, I don't care. Vote it up and vote it down. It is a pretty onerous change to those in the recycling or trash collection business. But I think if we're going to end the theft of all of those kind of things that are out there, we need some pretty good record keeping. We may have that even if the cash sales go away. But the cash sales in committee, the testimony was that they make up most of the transactions, particularly for kegs, I may add, particularly for kegs. And so if the cash goes away, you may or may not have a record of that. But use your judgment, vote it up, vote it down, and let's move forward.
For the discussion, the question is, shall second reading amendment number 2 to Senate file 128 pass? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no.
No.
Division been called for. All in favor, stand up.
Twenty.
Those opposed?
Aye.
Amendment passed. Senate File 128, having been read two separate times, the question is, shall the bill be read a third time? Hearing no objections, it is so ordered. Bills on third reading and final passage. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, do we have a consent list?
Yes, Mr. President, we do. Third reading consent list for today is as follows. Senate File 21, subdivisions located within irrigation districts. Senate File 34, beginning agricultural producer finance authority. Senate File 38, real ID compliance. Senate File 88, required use of ignition interlock devices. Senate File 103, child abuse and neglect amendments.
Consent list is Senate File 21, subdivision located within irrigation districts. Senate File 34, beginning agriculture producer finance authority. Senate File 38, real ID compliance. Senate File 88, required use of ignition interlock devices, and Senate File 103, child abuse and neglect amendment. Would anyone like any of these bills removed from the consent list? Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, Senate File 38, real ID compliance.
Okay. Anyone else? Okay, the third reading consent list then is Senate File 21, subdivision located within irrigation district. Senate File 34, beginning agriculture producer finance authority. Senate File 88, required use of ignition interlock devices. And Senate File 103, child abuse and neglect amendment. Having been read three separate times, the question is, shall these bills pass the Senate? Senate File 21, Senate File 34, Senate File 88, and Senate File 103. The Chief Clerk will call the roll.
Anderson.
Aye.
Bebout.
Aye.
Burns.
Aye.
Case.
Aye.
Coe.
Aye.
Cooper.
Aye.
DeCaria.
Aye.
Dockstader.
Aye.
Esquibel.
Aye.
Geis.
Aye.
Hastert. Honeycutt,
aye.
Jennings,
aye.
Johnson,
aye.
Landon,
aye.
Larson,
aye.
Martin,
aye.
Massey,
aye.
Meyer,
aye.
Nicholas,
aye.
Perkins,
aye.
Peterson,
aye.
Ross,
aye.
Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
aye.
Sessions,
aye.
Townsend,
aye.
Basie,
aye.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines.
Aye.
On the consent list, 30 ayes. Senate File 21, are there any changes? Case, I to no. Meyer, I to no. Larson, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 21, 27 ayes, 3 noes. Senate File 34, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote. Case, I to no. Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 34, 29 ayes, 1 no. Senate File 88, are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 88, 30 ayes. Senate File 103. Are there any changes? Closing vote. Closing. Vote closed. Senate File 103. 30 ayes.
Having received affirmative vote of the majority of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 21, Senate File 34, Senate File 88, and Senate File 103 have passed the Senate. Senate File 38. Okay. Third reading of the Senate file.
Senate File Number 38, sponsored by the Transportation Committee, Real ID Compliance, an act relating to the Federal Real ID Act, be it enacted by the legislature of the state of Wyoming.
Senator Vasey.
Mr. President, I apologize to the body for taking time on a third reading amendment for this, and I guess 6 years ago or something, I should have got excited. I just didn't think the federal government would move this fast, or this body would move this fast. But I think we need a little discussion of what goes on with things like this. And the other thing, I need to apologize to the body. I hope I wasn't too graphic in explaining where I thought the bureaucrats should file my registration paper. But you know, as this goes on, and it happens to us time after time after time, and in this body, we have no staff, we have no, you know, we have to be the constitutionalist scholars ourselves, right or wrong. And sometimes I'm way out of line as I interpret the Constitution, but I'm all I have is as far as interpretation of that. Now, granted, at the federal level, they have bright young people that work in the Justice Department and constitutional scholars, and every time they want to end run the Constitution, they say, well, scare the heck out of them, and then they'll bend right over, you know, and that's what happens again. When that wasn't a reference to the filing. But if you look at the Constitution, there's a little, well, first to preface this, that interstate highway system was also part of a defense system, a national defense system, and still today, I think it's still an integral part of that. And one could be, you know, say, well, they just put the defense in there to pass the interstate. I don't think so. It was during the Eisenhower administration, and I really do think that President Eisenhower at that time probably was well aware of what a good transportation system, how quickly you could move troops and equipment, because he had been in the European theater and watched the Nazi army do that pretty well. So that's still that part of the interstate system is still part of the transportation system. So if you look at Section 8 in your United States Constitution, it talks about what Congress has power to do. They can lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, excises, and pay debts. And then there's a little line that says, and provide for the common defense. So any time that they say they're going to hold money to put into that interstate system, they're, in my opinion, in violation of the Constitution. Because if that truly is part of the defense system and they say, well, you can haul your troops right up to the Wyoming border and then you have to go on a dirt road, that's not what they should do. And they shouldn't do that. And then you get over into my favorite part is the Amendment 14. And you look at that. In Section 1 of that, it says, all persons born or naturalized in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof are citizens of the United States and the state wherein they reside. No state shall make or enforce any laws which abridge the privileges or immunity of the citizens of the United States. And it goes on to talk about what the state's rights are. Now, I got to tell you, if that's the case, then the burden of proof is on the state as whether I'm a citizen or not. I'm a naturalized citizen. No, I'm not. I'm a born citizen. I was born here. At that time, Wyoming was part of the United States. It was before it became a colony. But it's those things. And if you make the argument, well, your driver's license is your privilege, then they're impinging on my privileges also. I get angry, and the
If you just think about the stories that your family told about why they came here, and you look at why they came here to own a little property, to get rid of a state religion and practice that as they wanted to get the government off their back. You know, I remember as a boy, one of the fascinating stories were listening to my mother's aunts and their father and uncles came to Wyoming and homesteaded along the Pass Creek there at the foot of Elk Mountain. And they would talk about how it was right in the middle of the Ute Indians' hunting grounds, and that irritated the Utes, and so every once in a while they'd bring a little protest along and the sort of lances and things like that. And they'd all gather their family and they'd run up to a stage station on Horse Creek. And they'd made a sod roof out of that stage station, and then they'd plastered the walls with kind of adobe so they wouldn't burn. And so they were fairly safe there. But never once in those stories, or my other grandmother came to Gillette to teach school, and she taught in a country school, and two cowboys picked her up at noon and knew that it was going to be a long ride to the ranch and they'd probably have to stay someplace overnight. She was worried about the cowboys and the sleeping arrangements. They were more scared of the school teacher. But she made it to the ranch but never once in those stories did they say, if we only had real ID, we'd be safe. That will save us as real ID. So I would hope when you vote on this, you'd give some consideration. It's another heavy-handed, way of saying, telling the states you're going to do what we want, whether it's right or wrong. And I did make a deal with my good friend, the senator from the beautiful Star Valley, that I will be the token. I will tell them where to go when they ask for that, and I will serve the time. The only thing is, I think the gulag that I'll be sent to will probably be the Red Desert, and that is in my Senate district, so I'm not even going to have to give up the seat. So just some consideration.
Senator Von Bladen.
Thank you, Mr. President. It's definitely hard to follow the senator from the mother county there. And everything he said is correct. I wouldn't argue a bit. I can tell you my ancestors, my grandparents, my mother's side came over because they were hungry. There was nothing in Ireland left for them. And I can tell you the other side of the family we really question because we can't find any connection, and I'm sure the legal documents against them would probably be our only connection to that country. This train is moving down the tracks, as was said earlier. What Real ID does is tightens up our own driver's license bureau in many good ways. It is not asking us to do something we shouldn't already be doing in most procedures. Now, it is asking for us to keep documents and for the citizens to provide a little tighter documentation of who they are and where they live. That is the biggest single change. The rest of it, background checks, digital photos, that's some of the bigger changes. Education of our personnel so they understand what a fraudulent document is. Can't find much else that it really changes that we shouldn't be upgrading anyway. The good part is, come 2014, December 1st, everybody under 50, seamless transition. In 2017 for the rest of us, seamless transition. To stand up here and say, I need to tell the federal government that they're not going to tell me that I'm going to background check my employees and not do digital photos because it's a mandate from them, which, by the way, they're giving us $1.1 million to do. I think it's in the long run it hurts. I'm glad I wasn't here for the seatbelt debates that this body has had many times. You've already made up your mind in most cases, so nothing I say will change it. But I will tell you that it wasn't an unfunded mandate. Going forth, it'll be $500,000. That is too bad. That comes right out of our roads. But at least they paid their share to get us started. It's something that will make our citizens make this transition that I think is going to happen whether we want to buck the system or not. So I ask for your vote on this bill. And let's make it seamless as we can.
Senator Escobel.
Mr. Chairman, members of this body, not speaking on the pros and cons of the legislation, but one of the things that concerned me when this legislation first came to my attention was was that originally the program was supposed to be voluntary on the states. It was basically one of those things that the federal government said, state of Wyoming, state of Montana, state of California, whatever, yeah, you can do it, it's strictly voluntary. But then the next paragraph said, however, if you don't do it, this is what's going to happen to you. And, you know, that was a little bit upsetting. So it's with that bit of information that I ask you to consider the pros and cons of it. Thank you.
Senator Scott.
Well, Mr. President, I will not try to debate the ins and outs of the Constitution with the distinguished constitutional scholar we from Carbon County. I don't think that'd be a particularly productive exercise on my part. I do have a suspicion that the courts might agree with the feds that what they're doing is constitutional. I would say to you that if we're going to comply with Real ID, I think the Transportation Committee has done a good job. I think the feds have backed off enough to be at least halfway reasonable. If you're going to comply, this is the way to do it. But make no mistake about it. It's going to be a big hassle for our constituents. It's going to put them through a lot of grief. Some of these documents are not that easy to obtain. Many people have lost them. It's going to be a problem. Yeah, we're minimizing the problem, but it's going to be a problem. And, Mr. President, if I was convinced this was going to do any good, I would join those who are going to vote for this bill. But I'm not convinced. It seems to me that this is one of the many overreactions to what happened that really isn't doing any good. That the current system we've got seems to be adequate, and frankly, the strategy that there has been, that the way you discourage terrorism is go after the terrorists where they live, rather than try to build walls to protect everybody, which I think is probably impossible. I think you just make it somewhat more difficult for them to get through the walls. They'll still do it. But this is not the way to get us protected. You have to go after them where they live and let them understand that there are horrendous consequences for attacking the United States and its citizens. So, Mr. President, being unconvinced of the need for this and being suspicious that it really doesn't do any real good, I'm going to vote no on this particular legislation.
Question been called for. Senate File 38, having been read three separate times, the question is, shall the bill pass? The chief clerk will call the roll.
Anderson?
Aye.
Bebout?
No.
Burns?
Aye.
Case?
No.
Coe?
No.
Cooper?
Aye.
DeCaria? Dockstader?
Aye.
Esquibel?
No.
Geis?
Aye.
Hastert?
Aye.
Honeycutt?
No.
Jennings?
Aye.
Johnson?
Aye.
Landon?
Aye.
Larson?
Aye.
Martin?
No.
Massey?
Aye.
Meyer?
Aye.
Nicholas?
Aye.
Perkins?
No.
Peterson?
Aye.
Ross? Schiffer,
aye.
Scott,
no.
Sessions,
no.
Townsend,
no.
Vasey,
no.
Bonflatern,
aye.
President Hines,
aye.
Closing vote. Closing vote closed. 18 ayes, 12 noes.
Senate File 38, having received the affirmative vote of the members elected to the Senate, Senate File 38 have passed the Senate. considerations of bills in general file. Mr. Majority Floor Leader, we are at that order of business, considerations of bills in general file.
Mr. President, I move that the Senate be in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. We are in recess until 2 a.m., 2 p.m. I'm reading the script. After adjournment, we'll have announcements. Senator Case. Senator Case.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 7, Elections, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, meets tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. in S-19 to hear Senate File 118, Continuation of Insurance Coverage, House, and that's continued from 129-9. House Joint Resolution 3, Legislator's Term of Office, House Bill 9, Engross Subdivisions Cluster Developments, and House Bill 10, Engross Subdivisions Requirements. Thank you, Mr. President.
Senator Cole.
Mr. President, your committee number 4, Education, will meet tomorrow morning at 8 o'clock in S-11 to continue work on Senate File 122, Professional Employer Organizations, Senate File 131, Management Audit Study, Reading Skills, Senate File 139, Hathaway Scholarship Program Eligibility Requirements 2. And if time permits, we'll take up House Bill 49, Marriage Licenses.
Senator Burns.
Mr. President, your committee number 6, Travel, Recreation, Wildlife, and Cultural Resources, will meet tomorrow at Tuesday, February 3rd, at S-14, 20 minutes after the noon recess starts, to take up HB 207, Internet Hunting, House Bill 135, Recreational Safety Act Amendments, and House Bill 93, Engross Complementary Hunting Licenses. And, Mr. President, let me be the first to wish you a happy Groundhog Day.
Senator Von Kleiderman.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. 15 minutes upon adjournment today, in room S-13, to consider Senate File 134, Embossed License Plates, House Bill 25, Special License Plates Retention by Spouse, House Bill 107, Engross Stop School Buses, and if time permits, Senate File 143, Marking Structures That Obstruct Flight.
Senator Larson.
Thank you, Mr. President. Your committee number 9, Minerals, Business, and Economic Development, will meet at 12:15. In S-18, to consider Senate File 135, Risk Management, House Bill 110, Engrossed Wyoming Business Ready Community Program, House Bill 111, Clean Coal Task Force, and House Bill 29, Engrossed Tribal Participation in Community Facilities Program.
Senator Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. President. Senate Committee Number 2, Appropriations, will meet in Senate 13 at 1 o'clock to consider Senate File 39, Child Health Insurance Program, Senate File 108, Long-Term Care Facilities. The committee will meet upon adjournment to consider Senate File 138, Health Care Professional Database, and Senate File 146, In-Car Supercomputer Funding. Thank you.
Senator Schiffer.
Thank you, Mr. President. Mr. President, your committee number 3, Revenue, we'll meet tomorrow, Tuesday, February 3rd, 30 minutes after noon recess in S-16 up on the corner, to take up House Bill 101, Engrossed Excise Tax Manufacturing Exemption, Senate File 144, Property Tax Assessment Rules, and Senate Joint Resolution 6, Residential Property Uniformity of Assessment.
Okay, now you've heard the motion. The Senate shall stand recess until 2 p.m. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
As opposed, no. Senate is recessed.